Hello, and welcome to that Eurovision podcast, Eurovision with a slice of life. My name is Rory, and I'm doing pretty well today. I've been kind of scrambling about at uni, trying to balance everything, because, you know, trying to be a master's student in the middle of a pandemic has been a great deal of fun. And, I'm just ready to sort of recap everything, and... Yeah, I'm just really sort of just looking forward to getting stuck in, you know? And joining me.
Jazzy, it's been a quiet day. I've not done too much today, so yeah, I think it's just been a quiet day. And yeah, it's just getting back into the swing of like being back on my internship in the middle of a pandemic. So
not a fun time.
Although I went back on the 4th of January, so I should really be in the swing of it by now.
Hi, it's Rosie. I'm doing pretty well. I got two very exciting deliveries in the post today. The first of which is a giant cream cardigan that Lewis's mother knitted for me. And it's lovely. And aww. I am currently completely snuggled up in it, and it makes me feel very warm and very cozy. So shout out to Lewis's mum for that. The other was a mortgage offer for a house, which is very scary and adult, but also very exciting.
Wow.
So yeah, that was kind of cool. hopefully getting
over at Rosie's new house.
Please party at mine. I'll get all the decorations up, and now I can actually like buy flags and put them up somewhere and stuff, like a true Eurovision fan. So, probably an Italian flag first, Ukrainian, Georgian. You know what sort of countries I like.
I'm looking forward to it already.
I think Rory will feel at home. I think Tim will be like, what is this taste?
And I'd just be somewhat in the middle, like, taste.
I joined Jazzy there. I'd
be like, Ukraine, taste. Maybe.
Georgia, skeptical.
I didn't want to call out Georgia there.
But yeah. I know Georgia's a controversial one.
And also, speaking of devil, I'm back. Woo! It took me ages. But yeah, Tim here. Not much is going on. I said not much. I'm busy at work. Busy with other Eurovision stuff as well. But, you know, I was like, okay, I need to get back. I haven't been here for ages. So I'm like, okay, we're here. We're good.
We're glad you're back.
Yay.
It's time to reconnect.
Open up.
Open up.
The gang's all back together.
Open up our connections.
And then I'm off again next week.
Oh, no.
What are you doing next week, Tim?
I don't...
Depends on my mysteriously ill. Week.
What was he doing last week?
We said you were too busy trying to catch up with the deluge of songs that have been coming out over the past week or something, something along those lines.
That's fair enough.
Oh, dear. But
what a neat segue into the show.
I know. Yeah. How interesting. Yeah, so obviously we are back at it again. We are ready to divulge all of the Eurovision news that's been going on over the past, 7 days, but because obviously we have now moved, this is the first episode of us in our new home for publishing, so I guess you could say the last sort of 5 days?
because our new recording home is Friday evenings.
Yes, so... we're basically just ready to get all of this stuff, and we're going to become predictionists rather than reactionists. So, yes, it's going to be very interesting. So, shall we all get started?
Yes.
Yes.
Let's do it.
Okay.
Okay, then. All right, then let's begin. Okay, let's start off with Melody Grand Prix. Because four more participants will be taking part in the second semi-final tomorrow, or by the time this goes out, in a few hours. And we've got a returnee amongst the four semi-finalists. So let's just see who's competing. We've got Rayleigh, who also is returning, with the song Hero. Maria Solheim, Norgeset. Daniel Owen with the song Psycho. And Ketil Stolken with the song My Life Is Okay. What are your thoughts?
But your life's okay. Mine's not.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was like, it's literally like two songs that you really wouldn't want to be thinking of. Psycho, and I'm like, all right, this lockdown is making me psycho. And no, my life is currently not okay. But then there's Rayleigh saying like, okay, I don't need a hero to like save me from this being psycho. My life is okay, saga. But what are your thoughts on the songs?
I really want Hero to win. I think it's like it has that like retro vibe that a lot of we're seeing a lot in national finals lately. But this is one that does it well. It's a bop. It's definitely on par with Wild, I would say. And we definitely know that she can perform. If she didn't win, I'd quite like Psycho to win because it's quite different to anything that we have in MGP so far. Definitely in the final anyway. It's like it's low key, but it's definitely not like a ballad type song. So yeah, I'd definitely like to see Psycho or Hero win tomorrow in the MGP heat. What do I think will win? I probably think Psycho may clinch it just because it's quite different to anything else that's in the heat tomorrow, but hey, let's see what happens.
I feel like, for me, there are two sort of standout songs. I really like Hero. I think it's really good fun. I didn't really get on with Wild last year. I thought it was a bit empty. And I think Hero's got a lot more sort of fun and joy to it. So really, really like that. But my actual favorite is Norgeset. It's a pretty girl with a guitar with a lovely voice and beautiful lyrics. It's my sort of music. I think probably Hero is my pick to go through. I actually also really did enjoy... I was sort of hoping Tim was going to be the first one to say this, but I really enjoyed the other automatic qualifier that came out, which is Barndomsgata by Davanga Camarantene. Jesus Christ, I can't. but I thought that was it's a really interesting sort of mixture of genres. It's a little bit boy band, it's a little bit folk. Yeah, it's a mixture of different things, and the lyrics are so beautiful. It's all about sort of returning to your hometown where you grew up and seeing all of the changes that have happened. And I think it's just really lovely to listen to. So I think that is definitely my second favorite of all of the MGP songs we've heard so far. Nothing has overtaken Monument yet for me.
Interesting.
Rory, your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm glad that we're back to normal service now this week because me and Rosie are back to agreeing on stuff. My favorite is also Norgeset with this one. I find it really sort of, I got like a very ethereal vibe from it. And obviously, you know, when you're singing about the Northern Lights, of course, that's a kind of otherworldly idea that you're trying to go for, I guess. I liked the list. I liked the rest of them. I never really clicked with Wild either. I still don't really click with Hero, but I click with it more than how I did with Wild. So I'm kind of happy that there's still a little bit more. What's the right way of saying it? Kind of a little bit more of a connection there, I guess. I did like Psycho and My life is okay. Do you know what? I know you guys have been saying, okay, Rayleigh, like, could easily take it, or potentially Daniel, but I would actually say, do not underestimate Ketil Stokkan, because Ketil Stokkan actually represented Norway in 1987 with Romeo, and I don't know, maybe it could be the sense in Norway. If it is, let us know. But as far as I know, that, like, Romeo is seen as a bit of a sort of a guilty pleasure song in Norway. And so I'm thinking, you know, as someone who's obviously very seasoned, I'm potentially seeing maybe could be a little bit of a spanner in the works. But it's a strong heat. I haven't listened to the automatic qualifier just because I didn't realize that it had come out. But I'm interested to see what's going to happen later tonight.
Yeah, and I'm really looking forward to watching it because I'm the one that's live tweeting MGP tonight. So, and I did get to watch MGP last week. So,
hey.
exciting times.
Yeah. For me, all I'd say is I prefer Hero than Wild. And this is me who likes the basic bops. And also shout out to Laurel Barker for giving me like this bop, and I didn't think I need it. It actually became to a nerve that's like, this has overshadowed the other three, and I'm gonna be so gutted if this doesn't.
Oh.
So that'll be fun for me.
we love to see.
But anyways, moving on. The next that we've got is. I'm not even going to try to pronounce the name of the national selection, because if I do, I will butcher it. Lithuania are going to have their second heat. And on that heat, pre-qualified artist and last year's winner, The Roop, will be performing. And therefore, yesterday, they released their bid for Eurovision called Discotheque. And let me just start off by saying, oh my God, I'm obsessed with this, and this is me saying I prefer this than On Fire. What did you guys think about it?
I wasn't sure about it on the first listen. I was like, oh, I'm not sure whether I like this or not. However, after like three or four listens, I'm like, yeah, I'm really with this. Like we said about On Fire, this will give Lithuania their best result in years. Will it win? Probably not. But it'll be up there, and I think that'll be enough for Lithuania to carry on this quite good streak that they've got going in terms of like their national final. And I just think this will be mean good things for Lithuania. There's nothing more to say. It's a good song. It will do well. And if we're in theory saying that it does go to Eurovision, which I would think it would. But who knows? Stranger things have happened. So
I wouldn't be surprised if there was a bit of a shock. But I mean, like we've been kind of last week, I guess we were sort of criticizing Pabanda Mishnoyo, saying that, you know, the quality of the songs wasn't necessarily as strong as 2020. But obviously with The Roop coming in and giving us a song like Discotheque, I'm not going to lie. I mean, I started to enjoy it towards the end on my first listen. But then the more I listened to it, it became a lot more infectious. And now I'm at that point now already where I'm listening to it on like repeat, on repeat, on repeat. So I'm really looking forward to seeing, well, first off, how they properly stage it. Because we've seen a couple of shots of like how... of their like recording their performance for Pabanda Mishnoyo later on tonight. So it'll be interesting to see how it's going to play. In terms of the songs that are competing tonight, I haven't listened to any of them again, so it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. But I am looking forward to seeing Sunday Afternoon, aka Vilija Matačiūnaitė, who represented Lithuania in 2014. Just to see what her sort of progression as an artist is. So, yeah, it's gonna be an interesting time. I think it's gonna be, you know, I think we should definitely not underestimate Lithuania again this year. So we'll see how it plays out.
Yeah, I'm absolutely on the same page as everyone here. I've not listened to any of the other Pabando Bishnoia songs for the second heat because they don't release them officially for that. So I've not really made the effort to sort of seek them all out that have been released. So I will be hearing them for the first time during the show, which will be very exciting. I will be live tweeting that. So Jazzy and I are swapping roles this weekend, which is very exciting. It's my first Pabando Bishnoia. So
isn't it insane though? I missed Kano's first performance.
And now you're missing the room.
Now I'm missing the room. although I may not miss the room because they tend to talk a lot in Lithuania. So I may that not actually true. Miss the room.
So you may just like, you know, who knows? Like Norway might have been finished by the time Roop is performing.
Probably.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Or like we can just bombard you like Roop quickly. Look, quickly.
But for certainly from listening to Discotheque so far, it has blown every song from Pabando Bishnoia that I've heard so far completely out of the water. I think just the production levels, the style, the uniqueness of it stands out from everything else that we've had so far in this competition. And yeah, when I first heard it, I was a bit like, okay, this is different. I can sort of get the same sort of feel to it as On Fire. And I do still absolutely love On Fire. I listen to it very regularly and it is still, I think, in my top 10 of 2020. I'm like, yeah, I can sort of see the influences here, but I can also see the sort of slightly different direction. And then I just wanted to listen to it more and more and more. And all day I've been working and I've just had it on in the background and I felt myself getting drawn back to it. And I think it's great. I'm really, really excited to see it live. And unless there is something really quite spectacular that comes up, I think they've got a good shot.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Well, and maybe something spectacular will come up. We don't know, but we'll see what happens.
Who knows? We might, you know what? Discotheque is giving me, it's like, this is the type of song that the lights would probably be on overload while this is playing on your club, probably. And we're just going to be like, dance alone, like literally describing what your club will look like in a socially distanced way.
The club.
Just like dancing alone.
The Roop said Jana Burcheska writes.
Like, I can already feel that there's going to be a TikTok challenge coming very shortly.
Oh, 100%.
Like, you can literally tell. But, you know, we are looking forward to that and also stay tuned to our coverage. Moving swiftly on, we've also had a news about an internal selection. Well, a reconfirmation of an artist coming back because North Macedonia has confirmed that Basil will indeed come back and represent North Macedonia this year. I mean, yay for a returnee because Woo! Like, I actually read about how Basil was meant to be staging you for Rotterdam and they used the same, like, they hired the same people who staged Proud, and he was going to be accompanied by a few backing singers, some of which were junior Eurovision participants.
Ooh,
and I was just like, we missed out on that. I'm like, but, you know, I'm really happy that Basil is back. So it gives him a chance to give us a new song, obviously. But, you know, you was one of my qualifiers. So let's see how they're able to take that up a notch this year. What are your thoughts?
Me personally, I wasn't that bothered about You as a song last year. However, I sense that there's a lot of potential in Basil, and I feel like he could really bring like a massive bop if he is given the right song. And he could do very well for Macedonia. I
So I'm excited, and I'm always happy to see countries bring back their 2020 artists and giving them another shot. So, yeah, I'm very happy that he's back.
I feel like from what I've listened to of Vasil's other songs, I don't feel like You was necessarily especially reflective of the type of stuff he actually normally does. So I really hope that he goes more in that sort of direction, because I found You... So similarly to Jazzy, I found it quite, it didn't stand out for me. And it was one of those songs that you do just kind of forget is there. And it's very pleasant to listen to. There's nothing wrong with it as a song, but it does very much sort of fade into the background for me. So I really hope that if he can do something that is much more in keeping with the sort of style that he would usually do, I think that would be really, really cool to see. And I'm really happy to see him back. I'm always going to be happy to see a returning artist, especially after 2020. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what he comes up with. It should be great.
Yeah, I'm absolutely over the moon. Just to, like, have another 2020 artist confirmed. Yes, it might be a little bit late in the day, but, you know, better late than never. And I'm kind of on the... I'm going to deviate a little bit because on my first few listens, I did actually quite enjoy You. But then as time went on, it did become a little bit more, I wouldn't say grating, but you could understand why it was so mixed in terms of reactions, because it did feel like there was like three different songs just smashed together and just hope that there was something there, you know.
Classic Macedonia.
Yes, they tried to do it, but they did it better before. Let's just put it that way. I think he's got a lot of potential. Obviously, you know, he's been to Eurovision a few times before, so obviously he knows what works for him, especially in terms of a Eurovision performance and in terms of a Eurovision song. But I'm hoping that maybe he might be able to give us something that, like, a side of him that we might not have heard before, because I feel like he has a lot of potential that kind of was just a bit wasted on You. And I'm saying this as someone who absolutely hated this song, right? If we gave him something more along the lines of Slavko, I feel like he might do it a little bit more justice and it might be a little bit more authentic to him. I could be entirely wrong, obviously, but, you know, to me, that's what I feel like he's most comfortable with. Obviously, Vasil, if you want to clarify anything, please come on the podcast and, you know, let us know, because then that'd be fantastic. But yeah, I'm just happy to have him back. You know, we just love to see broadcasters standing by their artists, and who wouldn't?
I want to see him dance with the bartender this year.
I want to see him actually land the bartender this year.
Yeah.
Oh dear.
Okay, moving on to another piece of news. We've also had a release of songs from the Iberian nation, Portugal, and Festival de Canção. All the 20 songs have now been released, and the show is taking place, well, begin to take place next month. Personally, I have not had a chance to listen to them yet. I was just wondering, who do you guys think should we look out for?
I only really listened to two of the big favorites, and they are Niv with Dancing in the Stars, and I can't remember, what's the other name of the other one? It was Saudade. I cannot speak Portuguese, I'm so sorry.
Oh yeah, Charismas, I think, is it?
Yeah, I really
and Romeo Barros.
Yeah, I listened to both those songs because I was told they're the two big favorites, and I really like both of them. And I don't tend to be a big Portugal fan in terms of what they send to Eurovision, so I'm quite happy I like the two big favorites. There's nothing really else I can say because I haven't actually had a chance to listen to anything else yet, but I'm sure I will at some point. So. Yeah.
I think it's a really strong Festival de Cancel this year. What I found certainly last year when I was listening to a lot of the songs is that there were maybe one or two that stood out. And then all of the others kind of sort of blended all into one for me. And I really struggled to really actually find any sort of identity or character to them. It's the reason Passepartout was my winner last year, because the style of it was so different to anything else that we had in Festival de Cancel last year. And I feel like this year is a much more diverse sort of year, which is really, really fun. And there are some fantastic songs in there. I do feel like a lot of the songs that are standing out for me are sort of the big favorites. So Saudade, I think that's great. Dancing in the Stars, I think it's not my favorite, but I definitely really enjoy listening to it. I also really like Girasol. I think that's a really fun, upbeat, it kind of feels like Tomorrow, as in Malta 2013. It's got similar sort of really lovely sort of vibes, and hopefully it's not actually sung by another right-wing nationalist, so I can stand and enjoy. And also the other one that I've seen quite a few people mention is Joana Alegre with Joana del Domar. It's quite easy listening, but she's just got such a beautiful voice. And actually, I think that's something I noticed listening to a lot of the songs this year, is that there are some really, really unique vocals, and that's really fun to listen to as well. It really does make every song so characterful and stand out. But yeah, I think it's a really strong selection. This year and last year are the only 2 years that I've listened to every song from Festival de Cancel, so I can't compare it to anything before that. But this year is so much stronger than last year, I found.
Okay. Okay, me and Rosie are back on bad terms now.
Oh, no.
I actually am kind of the opposite here. Last year, I actually found myself liking a lot of the songs that actually were in Festival de Cancel. So, obviously, of course, I liked Elisa, but of course, there were a lot of other songs that I found myself gravitating a lot to this time, instead. This time, however, to be honest, I was a little bit underwhelmed. Obviously, you know, of course, there are some songs in here that I actually think have a lot of potential. I think there's a lot of songs in here that, given the staging, like, they're very much dependent on how they end up staging it. But going off of first listens, because I've only listened to them once, there was only really, I think, 3-4 songs in here that I could enjoy. The rest all sort of blended into each other. Because I think perhaps Portugal has kind of gotten into this sort of quiet song rut, I think, which is don't get me wrong, I usually love that kind of stuff, but when there's so much of it, it can be a little bit samey. My favorites from the whole selection would be, of course, Girasol as well. I think it's incredibly playful. I think it's really interesting. I also kind of like as well Claro Com Agua by Mema. I can enjoy a lot of the sort of electronic elements of it, and of course she's a fantastic vocalist as well. All of these people are of course very talented vocalists. And then as well from the second semi-final, I really like Da Chick with I Got Music, and I know that a lot of people have not been liking that song at all. But I think it's quite like, you know, it's the disco vibe that people keep going for, especially, you know, in the midst of like Dua Lipa, Ariana Grande, Lady Gaga, who keep going back to this disco sort of motif. But I think my favorite out of all of the songs that are sort of more slowly would be Carolina Deslandes with Por Um Triche. And I really do like sort of the progression of it. It feels a lot more emotional, a lot more sort of genuine, I think, compared to a lot of the other songs that I've listened to. Maybe this might change. I'm not too sure. But yeah, I was a little bit saddened to see Portugal not really living up to the same sort of levels as they were last year.
I did really find last year that it was the staging that made a lot of songs stand out. Like Segaria really completely passed me by until I actually watched it live, and I really, really liked it. And Gabera Amarelo do Sol, also another one that I just didn't, I couldn't have told you what that song was. And then the live was so impactful with such beautiful, interesting staging. And so I think it will be really interesting to see what some of them do to make the song stand out a bit more.
We'll see what happens, obviously. This is the national final isn't until, I think, late February time. So they have time to develop their sort of staging and what they want to sort of convey. So hopefully by then we'll have a little bit more of an idea of like the story that they want to show.
Yep.
And I'll have had time to look up the lyrics to all the songs and find out what they're actually
Okay. All right. Then when the other members were recording without me, the songs for UMK were just being released. And moving forward to today's recording, all 7 songs have now been released. And I'm going to start things off by saying, I really love Axel's song. I really want him to win again. And Laura's just not that far off. What are your thoughts on the UMK songs?
My opinion is that Finland have kind of done the opposite to what Lithuania have done, whereas with Lithuania, they've kind of gone for a weaker selection, hope the group gets selected. Finland have done the complete opposite. And Axel's song is really, really good, and it's definitely among the really, really good songs. Unfortunately, I don't know how well he's going to do in this national final, as I do think his competition is stronger than last year's, with obviously Blind Channel, Dark Side, the Teflon Brothers, and Pandora with I Love You. And yeah, I'm thinking his competition is stronger, and I don't know whether he'll sneak into Eurovision. Half of me really hopes he does, because I really want him to like get his chance, and I'll feel like really sad if he doesn't. But the other part of me is like, this is a really, really strong national final. And there is, I think I'd be happy with 5 of the 7 songs going to Eurovision. So yeah, it's going to be tough. But Axel is one of those songs that I'd be very happy to see go to Eurovision. So it's all good.
So yeah, I've been very, I'm not going to say miffed, but I've been very saddened, I guess, to see the, now that all of the songs have come out, I personally have a very, very clear favorite, and I'm so miffed and saddened to see that so many of the people do not agree with me on this. My favorite is Laura Play. To me, it's the most sort of normal song, well, not normal song, but the most sort of competent song that I think she has ever sent into a national selection. It's the one that I've connected to the most out of all of them. I think I put a tweet about this up recently, and I said the song, like Play itself, it's not necessarily a competitive song, especially for a stage like Eurovision, but it is incredibly radio friendly. And the fact that she can deliver performances like this, and like this lends itself well to very sort of slick staging with like strong ad libs and stuff like that, which makes you wonder, why was she wasted on a song like Verona when she can come up with stuff like this? And that is the hot take. But also, I also really love Axel. I think Axel, his song this year is so much more genuine. Then looking back, it feels like he has so much more of an emotional connection with it. And I could definitely see this being a real contender, of course. Out of the others, I do really personally like Danny with the Sina Paivana Konkai Kirakastamua. I don't know how the hell I managed to pronounce that so well.
I think Rory, I'm just going to say, I think it's more of the rarity that we found someone who likes that song.
Really?
Yeah, most of the people on my GCs and timeline are like, nope.
See, but... I think it's quite, like, of course it's quite melancholic, but it's looking at a very unexplored topic, but in a very positive way. You know, and we've seen songs about death at Eurovision. You know, we've seen Au Jardim, we've seen
Vizlatnia, You Let Me Walk Alone.
Yeah, like we've seen so many of these songs like talk about such like a serious subject, but talk about them in a really artistic way. And I think that having Danny in Eurovision would just be a natural progression for a lot of it. But yeah, and then of course I do like Dark Side as well. I'd like it, but I'm not that big of a sort of heavy metal fan, so I guess it would be my sort of like my least favorite out of all of the songs that I want to go to Eurovision. I don't know if that makes much sense. I do like Ilta and I do like Oscar, but Pandora and the Teflon Brothers, just it's just a firm no for me. But yeah, I think Finland have got a really strong selection now. We'll see how it plays out. I'm really looking forward though to watching it and see how it plays out.
Yeah, something I didn't mention actually was Ilta's Kale Masoitan. I absolutely love it. I think it's beautiful. Something that I'm really like happy about is to see the Finnish language being incorporated more within their national final than we've definitely seen in the last few years. And because 3 of the 7 songs have Finnish within them. So yeah, it's really nice to see. And but I'd say out of the ones that have the Finnish language in it, I'd definitely say Ilta's is my favourite.
Yeah, I'm also definitely backing Ilta out of all of the songs in UMK. Sorry, Rory, I interrupted you.
No, it's fine. I was just about to say, I don't know if any of you have heard this song, but I feel like Ilta's Kele Masoitan reminds me very much of Slovenia at Junior Eurovision 2015, Lina Kudozovic, Prva Ljubizin. If you haven't listened to that song, listen to it and then listen to Ilta and tell me whether or not you think that there's any sort of similarities, because I always get those two mixed up in my head now. But anyway, carry on, Rosie.
I feel like for me, I'm not especially taken with UMK this year. There are songs that I like, and there are songs that I'll listen to and go, yes, I enjoyed listening to that, and then I'll never think about them again. There are a few that sort of stand out a little bit more for me than that, but nothing is really grabbing me. And I think I've been finding that for a lot of this national final season, that there are so few songs that are really sort of grabbing me and really making me want to back them. I like Axel's song. I think it's lovely. I want to see it have a little bit more sort of growth musically towards the end, maybe just a few more harmonies in the last chorus. I think otherwise it's great. I loved Looking Back. I like her as well. Blind Channels, I think it's really fun. I love a bit of rock. Not a huge fan of the lyrics, but similarly with Teflon Brothers and Pandora, I think the music is great and I love the verses. I think the chorus really lets it down. And I think even if they'd just been saying, I love you, baby, baby, I love you in Finnish rather than in English, I think that would have at least disguised the fact that they clearly took some very, very, very long lunch breaks while writing that song. I say that, I stole that from Lewis when I played the songs to him last night.
Oh.
I'm just trying to imagine that chorus in Finnish and I just don't know whether it'd work, because I love you is Minä rakastan sinua, which mean it's just like, I don't know if it'd work, but hey.
I mean, the final takes place on the 20th of February. Heads of delegation meeting is not till the 16th of March. Just saying.
That's true.
If it does win, you've got that leeway to literally edit it.
And I think the song would be better if it did, because I I'm a bit of a lyric snob, as you may be, as you may have discovered
what?
During
no.
this.
No,
that brand new information.
And I just feel like it lets the whole rest of the song down. And I find it so frustrating listening to it when the rest of it is really quite fun and playful and it's interesting and it really stands out. And yeah, the other songs, again, Lie, I think it's lovely. I think it's going to be sort of potentially splitting the vote with Axel, which is unfortunate. I think Play It Again, I think it's a great song from Laura. Danny's, again, I like the meaning of it. I like the lyrics to it. But it just doesn't, none of them have sort of taken hold of me and gone, this is a really great song that I really want to go to Eurovision. Like, I'll be fine probably with most of them winning, but I think it's going to be seeing how that compares to the other songs that are up against it to see how much I actually like it in the end.
Who knows? It could just be within the space of a month, it'll probably be like, nope, it has to be Blind Channel.
You never know.
And there's definitely a lot of fans on Twitter that are already saying, no, it has to be Blind Channel that go to Eurovision.
Yeah, that was Lewis's thought when I showed him the songs last night.
This will be interesting. It's definitely one of Finland's strongest selections, I think, since 2017.
Don't remind us about 2017.
I will, because Norma John won and they deserved it.
No, it's not that. It's more that I don't really want to be thinking about.
Like, I feel the example is Kano could lose with Monument and people will still be angrier with Finland on the 20th of February, no matter which direction they go.
Probably.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, then, moving on. We've actually had a confirmation to a little news piece that we did on our previous episode. Italy has confirmed that Sanremo will definitely go ahead in March. So did they confirm whether or not there's going to be an audience? I wasn't quite sure.
They're still in lockdown till the 5th, so I'd assume there would not be an audience, but that is not confirmed.
Well, the final is on the 6th of March, so it is possible they could have one for the final.
Amadeus cruise ship.
are we still pushing with that? Like, come on. Because I mean, think about it now. Like, we've got lots of national. I think the trend is there's no audiences anywhere whatsoever. Like, Melody Grand Prix has had their first semi-final, no audience. Lithuania has had their show, no audience. UMK is not going to have an audience.
FIC didn't have an audience either.
Yeah, FIC didn't have an audience.
Melfest is not going to have an audience.
Yeah, Melfest is not going to have an audience. Like, everyone's not going to have an audience. Like,
I feel like we've heard rumblings that France might, but I just think it's too soon.
No, I don't think. I mean, why would you have a lockdown between? Didn't they have like a really strict curfew, like 12 hours or something?
I think so. I don't know.
Like, I've heard that they want one, but I just don't see it happening.
No, I don't think it will happen. I don't think it'll happen. But yeah, there's a few, like, women, even Israel's, like, had to adapt. So I don't think that we'll see much audiences. How sad.
Yeah.
But
I mean, Israel cancelled the whole national final.
Yeah,
so
that's the thing that, yeah, like, you know, we're only going to have the music videos. And also, at the time of this goes out, the voting's still open. Who did you guys vote for? Or what song, sorry?
I voted for Ooh La La because I don't think that the other two should go.
I voted for Ooh La La because I don't think La La Love should go. I don't think the lyrics are appropriate.
I haven't voted yet and I haven't decided what to vote for yet.
Yep, and I am on a deadlock because I voted for Set Me Free.
Well, this is going to be interesting.
I mean, it's either that or have a song that has a lyric of I want to infect my generation. Which one do you think I would choose?
I think you should go for the one that's bah, bah, bah.
I like it, but...
You don't like literally... it.
No. It's just the nonsensical lyrics that, like, put me off. And on Set Me Free, it kind of shows off Eden as a vocalist, which is what Eurovision is about. And also the fact that I know that if you put in a choreography on it, she'd be able to take that on. And you can see that Ooh La La is giving that cherry red vibe.
Oh, yeah.
That she doesn't want to sing that song. But she's going to have to, like, deal with it. But, if Set Me Free wins, I'd be really happy. I want it. I want Set Me Free to win. But I already know that ain't going to happen.
Oh, well, hopefully.
But we'll see on Monday anyway, so we'll see next Friday how that goes.
Yes,
but,
well...
Like, my heart won't Set Me Free, but my mind is like, it's going to be Ooh La La or La La Love.
My mind is telling me no.
But all I could think of is like, if La La Love wins, will the EBU ask Khan to change that lyric?
Yes.
Really?
Well, hopefully.
Yes, I think they would, because they don't want to offend like people like from Spain or Italy who like are here that lost a lot of lives, because like a lot of the countries that were majorly affected and lost the most lives were countries in the Big Five, so they don't want to lose like money. So yes, I think they'll put pressure to change the lyric.
But how would you change it though? So that's maybe something that you guys could tweet us. So like, you know, if La La Love does win, how would you change the lyric?
Are we going to set up like a caption contest now? Fill in the Eurovision lyric.
Like what? Your love is my blank, and I want to blank my generation. How would you change
dangerous
it?
Dangerous game you're playing there, Tim.
In that Israel's final was eventually cancelled, I feel like they may take it upon themselves and change it.
Be an interesting one.
Yeah.
But just get ready for all of the Eurovision 2021 top two videos to come out on YouTube.
Some will stay and some will stay as top ones because some people don't include the initial version of Albania.
Oh, no.
So some will stay as top ones because Albania has not been revamped.
Oh.
So some will stay as top ones.
But the only thing I will say to Eden now, please put the songs on Spotify.
Yeah, please.
I mean, as much as I love giving Khan's Facebook page the views, I'd really want to be listening to it when I'm, like, I don't know, walking to go for my essential travel to the supermarket.
Yeah, exactly. And to those who are listening as well, obviously, be prepared on Monday for when we actually do a little article about what we think of the overall song as well that does end up being picked. So just be prepared.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. That's it, isn't it?
Is that everything?
I think that's everything.
I think that's everything. So that brings us to the end of the news section. So, yeah, that takes us to the end of this episode of That Eurovision Podcast. Again, an entire podcast being filled with Eurovision news. You can just tell that we're in national final season now. But, yeah, thanks a lot to Rosie, Jazzy and Tim just for kind of recapping everything and making sure that we're all up to date and we're all ready to go for our national finals tonight. For those of you who are going to be listening... those of you who are going to be following along with us. Rosie, which one are you going for?
Paranto Mishnoyo.
And Jazzy, which one are you going for?
Melody Grand Prix.
Fantastic. Right. So do follow our Twitter on there. So we'll be live tweeting as we go along. And in the meantime, please do continue to follow us on all of our social media. We're on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at That You're a Podcast. We're also on Spotify and Apple Podcasts as well. So please do continue to follow us over there so you always get notified for whenever a new episode comes out. And yeah, we'll be back again next week to recap everything that's been going on, not only from this weekend, but from the depths of everything that's been going on, like even in this next week. Who knows what's going to happen? But shall we all say goodbye?
Bye. Bye.